A very celebrated pasuk, right after Chamishi, well-known pasuk, V'ato Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach Kiim Liras Hashem Elokecha, L'lechas Bechol Derachav Liahavo So, L'avodas Hashem Elokecha Bechol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha. A pasuk which on the one hand describes the centrality and the foundational nature of Yirah Shamayim. Chazal ask, Atu Yirah Shamayim Milso Zedrasihi, it's Yirah Shamayim so simple that Moshe Rabbeinu, as we would say, poohoos it or minimizes. After all, what is Hashem really asking from you and of you? And the Gemara responds that indeed for Moshe Rabbeinu it was seen that way. Moshe Rabbeinu was so surpassing in his Avodas Hashem in general, in his Yirah Shamayim in particular. From the very beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu is in the very beginning, Moshe is associated with the Mialdos, who are Yirei Shemayim, Kiyarus Elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sne is described as Kiyarei Mehabit. He was afraid, not really afraid, but he knew that you can't really look at a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe, amongst all of his traits, Moshe's life and career is defined by Yirei Shemayim, and it's only appropriate and it's suitable that he would convey this as a seminal trait to Am Yisrael. Of course, the pasuk in and of itself is a bit of a paradox because it starts as if the requests are relatively limited and compact. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach Kiim Liyiras Hashem Elokecha, and Chazal certainly truncate the pasuk in a certain way. Very famous Gemara in Brachos, Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyiras Shemayim, which if taken in the literal context, some explain Yirah Shamayim doesn't just mean Yirah Shamayim, but it means freedom of choice, all human choices. But at least the literal reading of the Gemara is that every other choice or activity of a human being is influenced by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, except for Yirah Shamayim, which can't be influenced by definition, because Yirah Shamayim doesn't mean fear, it means the recognition that Hashem is unknowable and is accepting that hierarchy and submitting to that hierarchy. That's not something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu can induce, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu can facilitate. And yet the conclusion of the pasuk gives an entire laundry list of religious modalities that Hashem also presumably expects. He doesn't just write, Kim liyiras Hashem elokecha, but lelechas b'chol derachav liahavo, so two, lavodas Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha, three. So, the pasuk itself is a bit of a paradox. Many, many have noted this paradox. I just wanted to frame Rashi by reviewing some of the well-known concepts that stem from this pasuk and this phraseology, V'yato Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach. What's interesting about Rashi is how he interprets the word V'yata. The centrality of Yirah Shamayim is something which, as I mentioned earlier, is not just Moshe Rabbeinu articulating it. In the end of Koheles, for example, after Shlomo essentially reduces all of human experience into naught, into emptiness, Hevel Havelim HaKol Havel. So the conclusion of Koheles, Sof Davar HaKol Nishma, Es Elokim Yiravitz Mitzvosav Shemor Kizeh Kol Adam. So there's a reductive aspect that whatever man achieves in this world, it's inauthentic, it's vapid, it's empty, but Yirah Shamayim is the baseline. Or as David HaMelech writes, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, establishing Yirah Shamayim as a Chachma, but certainly juxtaposing it with the term Reishis to remind us that it's seminal, it's foundational, and to a degree, even educationally, in this interaction between Yirah Shamayim and Avas Hashem, even though we typically see Avas Hashem as the higher and more sublime form of religion, as the Rambam describes, understanding the synchronicity between Hashem's will and human will, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu not out of coercion, not out of coveting reward, desiring Olam Haba, but of understanding the inner logic and the inner justification, the self-sufficient justification of religion, even though Avas Hashem appears to be the more transcendent form of Avodas Hashem, Yirah Shamayim is a lot more straightforward, unidimensional, easily grasped, submitting, accepting Hashem's will, accepting that hierarchy. So certainly David HaMelech suggests as much, Reishis Chachma Yirah Hashem, And Shlomo Melech, even though the language is antithetically different, not Rashis Chachma, but Self Davar, the Self Davar of Shlomo connotes the same Rashis Davar of David, Self Davar having questioned and deflated many of the religious postures in Koheles. After all that deflation, Self Davar, the end of Koheles, reminds us of the seminal nature of Yerushalayim. And presumably this Pasuk is part of that pantheon of Psukim about Yerushalayim. But Rashi takes this pasuk in a very, very different manner, and hence the long-winded introduction to be able to appreciate the shift in Rashi. And again, Rashi is intrigued by the term V'ato Yisrael. We typically interpret the word V'ato Yisrael as Moshe Rabbeinu speculating, announcing, declaring, grabbing their attention. It's a new start. V'ato doesn't mean now, as opposed to 10 minutes ago or as opposed to 10 years ago, but now that we're at this stage and I'm about to pass, here are my eternal concepts that are eternally true, but now I'm sharing them with you with greater urgency and greater compulsion. Rashi translates the word V'ata literally, V'ata Yisrael, after reviewing all their betrayals and all their mutinies and all their insurrections and all their failures, in particular the great debacle of the Egel, even though you failed HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeatedly, Aval pi she'asisem kol zos, Rashi says, he still loves you and he's still committed to you, which is obviously a recurring theme throughout Sefer Devarim. And here's the transition into the Pasuk V'ato Yisrael, umikol ma shechatasem lefanav, and in the wake of all of your failures, eino shoel mikem kim liyira. The Kodesh Baruch Hu only requires and only expects Yira Shemayim. Now, it's clear, one thing is clear from Rashi, that the Pasuk is to be seen in the aftermath of national and personal religious failure, and it's a Pasuk that clearly reduces the expectations. One could say not just reducing them quantitatively, that Hashem only expects a limited amount of performances rather than a more extensive set of performances, but to a degree creates a shift, that even though Jews may, throughout history, fail at religious practice and religious performance and mitzvah observance and avoiding prohibitions, as they did in the Egel, the very dawn of Jewish religious history, so long as the experientialism and the emotional commitment and the general religious motivation and authentic interaction and relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is intact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, accepting of that desire, of that will, that motivation, even in the absence of mitzvah observance. And hence the general tone and the general theme of the Pasuk is that even when a Jew fails at practice, and every Orthodox Jew at some level fails in practice, no Jew keeps every single mitzvah perfectly. We try to. We accept all the mitzvahs, but we inevitably fail. Human beings are flawed. And the Egel is a microcosm of that flawed nature of human identity and of collective national experience. But as long as there's a genuine desire, and not just a desire, but a desire that expresses itself in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem, and Avodas Hashem b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to maintain the relationship. So in many ways, it's a pasuk, I could call it Hasidish pasuk, in which there's a transition from a religious performance graded or based on how many mitzvos a person actually succeeds at, how much Torah a person actually learns, how well a person actually improves their midos, into one of an internal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, defined by Yiras Hashem, Avas Hashem, and a general sense of Avodas Hashem, even though it may not express itself in every single mitzvah. Now, the issues surrounding this read of Rashi are twofold. Number one, how long of this list does Hashem expect, even in the wake of the Egel? Because The term "Lavodas Hashem Elokecha b'chalavavcha v'chal nafshecha" could be interpreted very generally, just to love Hashem and fear Hashem and to serve Him with all your heart. The next pasuk writes, "Lishmar es kol es mitzvos Hashem es chukosav asher anochi misav chayem l'tavlach." So if you read the entire two psukim as one long sentence, then that read of Rashi may not be accurate. And in the post-Egel, or the post-failure reality, Hashem doesn't in any way change expectations. Hashem just says, I'm still there for you, I've forgiven you, and now I'm resetting those expectations based on their original set of demands, and that's the full Monty, the full deck, and the full allocation of mitzvos. If you truncate the pasuk, you can truncate the pasuk in two ways. You can truncate the pasuk and conclude just with the end of pasuk Yud Beis, that Hashem, although He aspires and hopes that you'll fulfill all the mitzvos, but even though you won't, there's a more limited set of expectations of Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem and Avodas Hashem b'chal avavcha b'chal nafshecha without necessarily succeeding at every mitzvah. Additionally, there's another manner of truncating the pasuk, and that's the classic truncation: V'yatzer Yisrael Hashem Elokecha Shalom Imach Kiim Liras Hashem Elokecha. That even though you may not succeed in all mitzvah performance, and even though you may not serve Hashem b'chal avavcha b'chal nafshecha, you may not reach the level of li'ava osa, or even the level of oleches b'chal derachav, as long as there is a simple, unconditional, commoner, yiras shamayim, then that's already a religious achievement, and A, will serve as a portal to other forms of avodas Hashem, and that's clearly the tone of David HaMelech and Shlomo. Reishis Chachma suggests that it's a portal, it's a facilitator. Self-Devarah Kol Nishma suggests that it's a foundation upon which you can try to build, despite all the pessimistic tones of Koheles. But even without it serving as a gateway, it's certainly sufficient. And I think, to a degree, the Pasuk, through Rashi's lens, again, the major shift in Rashi is to see the word Vi'ata as asserting this list and asserting this set of expectations in the post-Egel environment. That's really the chiddush, the novelty of Rashi. Most don't interpret it that way. V'yata is just a general statement of, now that we're at this stage, here are my expectations and here is my definition of religion. But for Rashi, it's describing a post-failure, a post-religious malfunction expectation. The pasuk probably is intentionally vague, and it intentionally supports both readings. Namely, one reading is that Hashem has full expectations of you. Yiras Shamayim, Avas Hashem, Halicha B'drachav, Avodas Hashem B'chal Avavcha V'chal Nafshecha, Lishmor Es Mitzvos Hashem. But the pasuk isn't punctuated that way. The pasuk ends after Le'avdo B'chal Avavcha V'chal Nafshecha, and then it begins Lishmor Es Mitzvos Hashem. And even the first pasuk allows truncation in the way that Chazal truncated it to refer to Yiras Hashem. So it's a very, very intriguing pasuk in general, and it's even more intriguing given the chronological framework that Rashi provides based on the word Vi'ata. A second Rashi is a well-known pasuk, of course, the first pasuk of the second parsha of Kriya Shema, V'hayim Shema Tishmuel Mitzvosai, Asher Anochi Mitzaveh Eschem Hayom Le'avos Hashem Elokichem U'Li'avdo B'chol Levavachem U'V'chol Nafshechem. Rashi questions the inclusion of the word B'chol Levavachem U'V'chol Nafshechem. The Torah is already written, in fact, earlier. I just read the passage earlier. Le'avdo B'chol Levavacha U'V'chol Nafshecha. And of course, the first parasha of Kriya Shema also includes V'yavtas Hashem Elokecha B'chol Levavacha U'V'chol Nafshecha V'chol Mi'odecha. So why does the Torah constantly repeat B'chol Levavachem U'V'chol Nafshechem? Rashi says, "Halo kvar hisir b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, ela azhara liyachid, azhara letzibur." Torah is reminding us that this expectation of complete, unconditional, relentless, unmitigated service of Hashem with your whole heart and your whole soul is expected at both levels, at the personal level and at the collective level. Now, it's a provocative Rashi, because it's one thing to talk about performance at a personal level versus performance at a collective level. So in theory, there could be performance that succeeds at a personal level. People are religious, committed, loyal. But in the public sphere, there's a breakdown. Just as there could be public areas of religious commitment, davening, karbanos, based on mikdash, but personal failure. And to a degree, the first based on mikdash reflected some of that. But when it comes to emotions, emotions aren't felt by groups. Emotions are felt by individuals. So the only way to reach public passion and public devotion is for all the constituent individuals to feel that passion and emotion. It's difficult to separate, difficult to create autonomy. And Rashi suggests that there is independence, that Torah wants us to be committed and dedicated on a personal level. Those same emotions and passions and devotion should be expressed at a collective level. What may be happening in Rashi is a little bit different. It's not just that the Torah is describing two separate narratives or two separate trajectories, one of personal religious devotion and one of collective religious devotion, as if they can be severed. But the Torah is describing two different interfaces with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second parsha of Kriya Shema, which describes this public success at religion through the lenses of B'chol Levavcha, through the prism of B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, concludes by promising all the rewards for religious commitment. If you indeed fulfill them, V'nasati mitaretz echem v'ito yirel makosh, abundant rainfall, abundant crops, grass, success, financial success, V'nasati esi b'sadcha lefimtecha v'yachalta v'savata. And conversely, if you fail, Yishem v'lechem pen yiftel levavchem, Hashem will be angry, famine, lack of rainfall, the earth won't produce, and you'll leave the land. V'avadatem mira, mi'al haaretz hatova. This quid pro quo, or tit for tat, reciprocity, exists at a collective level. When Am Yisrael is committed and devoted, Hashem provides material success and durability and sustainability in our land, in Eretz Yisrael. And when we're not, then famine and national crisis strike, and of course the ultimate being expulsion from Eretz Yisrael. This reciprocity, or quid pro quo, doesn't exist in a personal level. Tzadik v'ra'la, rasha v'tovlo. People can lead very righteous lives and suffer terrible fates, just as people can live very, very wicked and unruly lives and receive, at least in this world, many of the bounties and blessings that we would assume would be reserved exclusively for the righteous. And of course, that's really the theme of Parsha Zekev, that rewards and punishments are deferred for a different realm, and we shouldn't expect them in this realm. They refer to the end of history, the post-history world, signified by the term Ekev, or the heel of a human body, the anatomical metaphor. So it's important for the Torah to clearly designate this second parsha of Kriya Shema as applicable to the collective, national body and experience, not to individuals. So by repeating the same term, b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, but articulating it grammatically in plural, the Torah is emphasizing that this pact and the expectations of reciprocity are actionable and implementable and suitable for the public, but not for the private. And even though the expectations are the same for public Avodas Hashem and personal Avodas Hashem, and suddenly this specific condition of B'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha in the public level can only be achieved if individuals muster B'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha. They're different, and it's almost a way to tag the second parsha of Kriya Shema as referring to the Tzibor as opposed to the Yachid, by saying the same phrase but saying it in a way which grammatically suggests plurality or plural rather than individuals. So I don't think that you can separate devotion from personal devotion to collective devotion. If everyone is devoted, it will create a community of devotion, a community of passion, a collective passion. But it's the Torah's way of using the same phrase but in slightly different, nuanced fashion to denote that the terms of this parsha apply to the public, but not to the personal experience. So two interesting Rashis. one about the role of religion in general for people who fail to meet the ideal and objective expectations of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So after the Egel, Hashem still sustains you. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shel Meimach. And now all he wants is either Yirat Shamayim or Yirat Shamayim coupled with Ahavas Hashem and Dveikus and Alicha B'drachav, or the entire list, Lishmoras Kol Mitzvosa. But certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and Moshe Rabbeinu was reminding them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not abandon them after religious malfunction. And the second Rashi, speaking about the difference between the first parsha of Kriya Shema and the second parsha of Kriya Shema.